Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, we talk with Buffalo from the Grand Rapids Bitcoin Meetup.
Hey, Local Bitcoiners. Rev Hodel here, and I'm back with Reed. And on this episode, we're going to be talking with Buffalo from Grand Rapids. We're going to hear all about the Grand Rapids social meetup and about a future upcoming regional meetup that we're going to be, well, Buffalo, who is our guest tonight, will be hosting here in Grand Rapids as well. But as usual, before we get to talking to Buffalo, I'm going to tell a little meetup adventure story. And this was the story of the latest Chicago Bit Devs at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. It started off with horrible traffic. I ended up getting there over an hour late. And thankfully, I didn't miss the whole Bit Devs discussion. They did have a burger for me that I could order at the restaurant. Ordered my burger and fries and popped up there to the Bit Devs, dropped off my cooler with all my goodies for sale, and hung out, learned a lot about elliptic curve cryptography and exactly how that works, which was pretty interesting and also mind-numbing. It was a little complicated to try and wrap my head around it in just 30 minutes, but I think I got the gist of it, and that was pretty exciting. It's something that I've been trying to learn through listening to the Fundamentals podcast. Used to be called Motivate the Math. Now it is called Magic Internet Math. That's right, Magic Internet Math podcast with Fundamentals and Rob Hamilton. They try and teach all of the people this information about the math behind Bitcoin in podcast format. And so I got the real deal right there in person at the Bit Devs. And so after that, you know, it was the typical, hey, here's my stuff, sold some stuff, hung out, and headed home. It was a pretty short and sweet. I was just exhausted from the brutal traffic. There was like an accident every 10 miles. It seemed like it was totally brutal. Doesn't always happen that way. But yeah, it was just cool to get back to the Bitcoin Collective, the Chicago Bitcoin Collective, and continue to participate over there and continue to watch that space grow and flourish. Reed, I know that you've been to a meetup recently. What was going on with that?
Hell yeah. You know, I went all that time. I went like 6 weeks without going to a meetup, and then I went to two meetups in like 4 days. So I had my meetup this past weekend, and then on Wednesday, that would be the 22nd, I headed down to the CT Bitcoiners. So that's down in Middletown, Connecticut at Conspiracy. And it was a really good time. We, unlike you, had zero traffic. I went down with another one of the guys from my meetup. We carpooled together. And it was totally smooth sailing. Actually, we talked about it there. It's so nice to have another meetup. Like, it only took us like 50 minutes, I think, to get there. So they're by far our nearest neighbor now. And we had a great time. We talked a lot, actually, about some of the other meetups that are going on, because we had some of those guys there asking about the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup, filling us in on some of the history. And some there is one other meetup way far down south in Connecticut that we were talking about. And then another one of the guys has been hitting up the Rhode Island meetup on the regular. And we got some news just like about what's going on in Boston and the Boston scene. So all of that to say, you know, there were rumblings of a potential regional meetup at some point. At least the Connecticut guys seem to be really into that idea. And so, you know, that could be, you know, in the cards here in the near future, especially if they're willing to step up and take the lead on it. I'd do anything I could to help, but it sure would be nice if someone would take the lead on it that isn't me. So, it was a good time, and it was good to get down to another meetup. So yeah, just like you were saying, you know, Buffalo, thank you for joining. And if you wouldn't mind, maybe take a minute and introduce yourself and tell us about the Grand Rapids meetup.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me on. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was at the Lake Satoshi meetup last year, and I don't remember who was speaking, but somebody got me interested or, you know, feeling like I wanted to do something more. And so we made the two guys meetup. We meet the second Monday of every month at Two Guys Brewing in Wyoming. It's a pretty solid meetup. We got a lot of good guys. I think Grand Rapids has a pretty solid crew between both the social meetup and the technical meetup. I think some people will be here joining us later, and I'm pretty excited about it.
And that's Wyoming, Michigan, correct?
Yeah.
You had me going there for a second.
Yeah, Wyoming, Michigan.
Yeah, actually, so I was looking at the meetup.com page. There's another meetup as well, right? Is there one in, like, at the factory? Is that what the name of the other place was?
Yep, that's the technical meetup. We meet the last Wednesday of every month there, and it's more of a technical meetup, getting into the, you know, nitty-gritty. Or I know Rev has had his nine forms of capital, Rev.
Yeah, it's the nine forms now. It was eight forms, but I've added a ninth form. So, yeah, now it's the nine forms of capital. That's right.
Which, that was awesome. I look forward to hearing that again. That was a really good one. But, yeah, the meetups are awesome. The crew is really cool. I think that's the main reason why I love coming back. You know, we'll get new people to show up every now and again, but the main core of people are really, really good guys and gals.
How's the crossover, like, between, so, you know, you guys got the two meetups under the same umbrella, and we've actually talked about potentially doing something similar with our meetup, because there were some of the guys, like, we, for a long time, we were doing definitely more educational focused meetup, where we were running Socratic Seminar, and there were some folks who still wanted to do a social meetup, and for a little while we were doing both. And I considered keeping that going, but no one else was kind of willing to take the lead on it, so we didn't do it. But I was always curious, like, if we started doing every other week, if it would split up the group, or if you'd get regulars at one and not the other, or if everyone would cross over. So I guess I'm just curious how it is where you guys are at. If it, like, what's the, like, does everybody pretty much go to both, or how does that go?
Yeah, there's a good group of people that go to both. I know, I feel like Rev stopped going to the one because there's another one. He stopped going to the technical meetup because there's another one on the same night that he attends. But yeah, there's a good group that crosses over to both. You know, my family, I make them come to the social meetup. So, like, my wife and daughter come, and then I make my parents come, and my mother-in-law comes as well. And so they don't, they've never attended the technical meetup yet, but there's a few guys too that also, I feel like, strictly go to the technical meetup. But there's a really decent group that crosses over.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy that there's good crossover. I do miss going to the meetup there at the factory for more of the presentation roundtable style format there. And, you know, I think that's where I first met you, Buffalo, is at the meetup there at the factory before you started this other social meetup. And there was a social meetup at Founders for a while. Actually, I think the whole Grand Rapids meetup started at Founders. That was actually the first meetup, that Founders meetup was the first meetup I went to outside of this Southwest Michigan meetup that was the very first meetup I went to. And then the second one was the Grand Rapids meetup. And so in history of this podcast, we like to ask everybody, you know, what is the meetup origin story? What was the first meetup that you attended, and how was that? How did that go for you?
Yeah, the first one I attended was actually at Founders. It was awesome, you know, being able to actually talk to Bitcoiners for the first time. You know, all my normal friends had pretty much shut the door on listening to me talk about Bitcoin, and even if they would let me talk about it, you know, they couldn't carry on a conversation. So being able to talk to Bitcoiners was game changing. And I think that's the biggest thing about the meetup scene is the community behind it. You know, like we're going to be going to Lake Satoshi next weekend. Just that whole experience was incredible. You know, when you meet people that have a low time preference compared to, you know, the most of society has a high time preference, it really changes you. And yeah, it's really cool to see.
So when did you switch from going to the just the Founders meetup to starting to come to the factory? Because I think that's where we crossed paths for the first time.
Yeah, so once I learned about the factory, I started coming, and I became a regular at both meetups. And yeah, that's where I met you. And yeah, that was kicked off a great friendship, you know, stayed at your yurt recently, and that was awesome. But yeah, it's been cool to go to both. I'm not sure when I started going to the factory, but you know, like I said, I started going to Founders, meeting everybody, and then got turned on to going to the factory, and been going ever since.
You know what? Now that I think of it, I wasn't able to go to the social meetup. I had to kind of pick one, you know, which one was I going to go to Grand Rapids for? And I did prefer that the roundtable style format rather than the social format. One of the biggest reasons, man, is because at the factory, it's BYOB. And, you know, at Founders, you got to shell out for the food and the beer and everything. Granted, after the factory, we always go to the bar down the street, and I end up spending some dough there anyways. But that's what I really liked about the factory is that I could bring my beer in, the beer that I like, and you know, that. Anyways, that's why I liked going to the factory. But
yeah, it's a good setup, you know. With you got that whiteboard on the wall. I mean, they really treat us good there. I'm stumbling to think of his name, but the guy that runs it, he's a really good dude. The guy that lets us there. And they just got a really good setup, especially for, you know, letting us do it for free. I feel like the value for value, circular economy there is a little bit better than at the two guys, meetup.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about like how the two guys got spun up and how the meetup at Founders sort of slowly phased out? What was that transition like?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Founders, we struggled with parking, but also we wanted a place that we could potentially pay in Bitcoin. And the people at Two Guys, the owners, Amy and Tom, they're really cool. And they're in the process of figuring it out. I don't remember who their payment people are. It's not Square. I wish it was Square because it'd be a done deal. But yeah, they're working on accepting payments there in Bitcoin, so we'll be able to pay in Bitcoin. It's nice because one of the servers there, who we used to get on the regular, but I haven't seen him in a minute. But he still works there. Just haven't seen him on our Mondays. He'll take Bitcoin tips. So we're really trying to spread that value around.
You know, at the Southwest, or go ahead, Reed. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, you had, I think you said at the very beginning, you got kind of inspired by a talk at Lake Satoshi. And I guess I'm just wondering, like, what is it that inspires you to do the meetup? Like, I'll just give like a, we've been feeling, I have a feeling it's because the price is kind of down. But I would say our meetup, like the vibes have shifted a little bit recently to where, I don't know, we're feeling kind of revolutionary. You know, like we're getting the vibes. It's been coming through actually on the podcast. It's been mentioned a couple times recently how the people who are still showing up to the meetups are really pretty passionate about the mission here. And so I guess I'm just wondering, you know, what was it? I don't know if you remember, but do you remember what it is, what you heard that inspired you? And, you know, I guess why do you do it? It's kind of a question we ask a bunch of meetup organizers because I don't know, we all kind of put ourselves in this position of responsibility, and there's like sometimes there's bills to pay with meetup and stuff. So I don't know. I just love to hear what kind of gets you going with the meetups and why you started.
Yeah. So I don't remember who was speaking, but they basically were just saying, you can just do and do things. And so I had already pretty much been going to Two Guys on the regular on Monday anyway, because of their specials. So it was like, all right, let's get this going. Let's get something a little closer to home. Hopefully, you know, I tried to orange pill my friends and see if they would come. That didn't pan out, but, it's been a good journey. I do it because at the end of the day, I used to be one of those people that yell on the internet, about politics, and, it is so changing once you get into Bitcoin, and I just see all the people that were, that are doing what I used to do, which is yell on the internet and scream and act like if you vote for one side, it's going to change. And, you know, you see that Bitcoin is the base layer of society and that, you know, people are being stolen from. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, inflation is absolutely theft. And so just doing it for the education. The system's not going to teach you, you know, I didn't learn about, you know, the Federal Reserve and what it does in school. I didn't learn about, you know, Bretton Woods Agreement, Triffin's Dilemma, you know, the, you know, website, what the fuck happened in 1971, sorry. I didn't learn about any of that stuff in high school. And so, you know, you just realize that the powers that be are the same people that control everything. And, you know, money makes the world go round, and they're not going to tell you, hey, Bitcoin's this escape valve, so we got to do it for ourselves. And it's grassroots. And, you know, this community being a part of it has been amazing. Super proud to be a part of it. You know, like I said, all the people at the meetups, I consider my friends, you know, even better than some of my fiat friends, which I have known for years. But, you know, these relationships that you build with people that are in Bitcoin, you know, they're low time preference people. And it's just, you know, they're different. And so, yeah, the more people we can get on the team, the better. Yeah, it's been fun. And, you know, the mission doesn't stop.
So when your only experience learning about Bitcoin is through Twitter and the internet and stuff, I think you can end up in we kind of talked about this in the last recording with Matthew D, but this might be kind of released several episodes later now. Anyways, you get kind of, you might be able to get siloed off. In that episode, we were kind of talking about getting pigeonholed into NGU only kind of podcast that you listen to. And then that becomes kind of your lens for which you view your whole world of Bitcoin through. And in my experience, when I started going to the meetups, I realized that there was a lot more going on than what I was just finding on the internet, because I didn't have any guide to show me that there was such a larger, there's so many other aspects to Bitcoin that I just wasn't seeing. For you, I'm wondering, you know, when you started going to the meetups, how did that change your Bitcoin game? How did you level up?
Yeah, you know, that was the big thing is, you know, you started, at least I did, I got in it for the games, you know, when are we going to get Lambos? And then, you know, you actually start studying this stuff. And like I said, going to the meetup was game changing, learning, you know, all the things that I would have never learned. You know, when you were giving your presentation on UTXOs and change and all that stuff is very important, but I would have never learned it just listening to the podcasts. So it really does change you. And yeah, the meetups are they're awesome. People, everybody should, you know, attend one or start one if you don't have one in your area.
Yeah, I found it's, I completely agree. I think with the way that you're putting that together. And I would say when I first started my meetup, I was very much trying to use the meetup as a way to orange pill. Like we had a lot of beginners and honestly, I was trying to get people who didn't know about Bitcoin to come out because our meetup was small. And so we ended up kind of for a little while there with a whole bunch of sort of beginner Bitcoiners. And so we had just started this educational format. And so it was a lot of, I don't know. I was doing my best to make a lot of those arguments, like the monetary arguments that you sort of gave a little overview of. Like we gave talk after talk. Like it seemed like every week I'd have another chart from WTF happened in 1971, you know, just trying to get like that foundation down. But I've noticed definitely a big shift in our meetup where a lot of those beginners aren't so beginner anymore now. They're all regulars now. And, you know, now we just switched to this roundtable format and you can feel it, at least in our meetup. There's a lot more community now, than there was when we were just doing like this educational only. And that was starting to wear off a little bit with the Socratic seminars. But now I think the group is really starting to get it that the real benefit of the meetup isn't necessarily the education. Like you can go get education online. The real benefit of the meetup is the community and the connections. And, you know, like you were talking about at the beginning, just being able to hang out with other Bitcoiners And, you know, I'm like you, like, well, basically all of my best friends at this point are, I've met through the meetup. So it's been a huge benefit to me, but I think to everybody else too. So I don't know. I guess it's just nice to hear, like other people who have been going to meetups sort of feel that as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I feel like I pretty much hang out with mostly Bitcoiners now. You know, as you get older, as you get family, you get busy, and you know, I'm always making time for the meetup, so I'm always seeing my friends, the same ones over and over, and it's you know, it's always good to see them. The community, like, it is amazing. It's really hard to describe, but you know, it really does change you. You know, Bitcoin changes your time preference. It really will change you as a person, and for the better. And it's been awesome to see.
So I think we were talking a little bit pre-show, and it sounded to me like you were heading to Lake Satoshi pretty soon, like kind of early. I think this episode, I guess we didn't really talk about it yet. Rev, you alluded to it a second ago, but let's see. So today is July 24th, which means Lake Satoshi is in just about a week. And so this episode, I believe, isn't going to come out until just after Lake Satoshi. But you're heading up pretty early. Do you want to talk a little bit about Lake Satoshi and about maybe what you're going to be doing up there, you know, a week ahead of the actual event happening?
Yeah, so the event, you know, there's people speaking all day on Saturday, and I definitely want to attend that. But he's also got, you know, this really nice lake. And one of our regulars that attends the meetups, Zaya Zaza, he's already up there. And so I was just chatting with him, and he's like, hey, you should come up on Saturday. You know, I didn't have any plans, and it's only an hour and a half away, and you know, I got all the stuff to camp, so I just ran it past the wife, and she's always down. You know, she really likes camping, which is why we find ourselves at Rev's every now and again. We'll probably be back again soon. But yeah, so she likes to camp, so we're gonna head out there. We're gonna enjoy the lake. There's some people there early. I don't want to dox anybody, but there's some people there early, so we're gonna go hang out with them. You know, I'll see PF, which is the guy that kind of runs the show for the owner there, Mike, really just gonna be excited to go hang out and be able to actually take advantage of the lake and spend some time not, you know, running around and trying to chat with everybody as much as possible. So it'll be nice to have it there and take it easy.
Do you think you're gonna do anything to help get things set up, or are you planning just to relax?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll do some stuff to get set up. I'm not sure what Zahn and PF have in store. I've just told them that, you know, I'll be bringing the fam, and I'll be there early morning. So once the kid wakes up, we'll get her fed and we'll head out.
So it seems like everybody at Lake Satoshi's got a little bit of a different setup. For, you know, I mean, you know, it's a long time. It's basically a big camp out. Like, what's your go-to? Like, what are you guys going to be hanging out in? You said you're bringing the family?
Yeah, so this year we're rocking a tent. You know, last year we had my parents come. I used to own a trailer, but then I realized I could sell it for Bitcoin. So I sold that probably like 3 years ago. And So I talked my parents into coming last year. They had a trailer, so we got to stay there. Unfortunately, they booked a trip, so they weren't able to make it this year. And my wife, who had agreed to never, ever camp in a tent, ever, bless her soul, was like, you know, we're not going to camp. You know, we're not going to go to a hotel. We're going to camp there. It's fine. I'll suck it up. So, she's the real MVP here. So not only do we get to go actually for Lake Satoshi, but we get to go test it out tomorrow.
So not to shift gears back away from Lake Satoshi for a little bit, but I'm curious, you know, how did you find out that there was a meetup in Grand Rapids in the first place? And, you know, what got you searching for a meetup to attend to begin with over everything?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you know, I've kind of gone away from the NGU podcast, but you know, back in the day I was listening to Simply Bitcoin, and one of the guys that they had on was Bitcoin Rippin. He's a member of the meetups. He doesn't attend too much anymore. I don't see him really too often. But he was on there. I had reached out to him. One of my buddies owned a dispensary, and he was having his credit card machines get shut off all the time. And so I reached out to him to see if there was a way we could, make Bitcoin available to pay him. But it became, the owner of the dispensary didn't want, he didn't want Bitcoin at the end of the day. He wasn't a Bitcoiner yet. And so he wanted fiat. And so, you got into the anti-money laundering laws. And so it just became, nothing to keep pursuing. But, he had mentioned that there was a meetup. And so he told me, hey, check it out for the founders. And so I attended my first meetup, and that was a game changer. That's when I met Za. And there was a few regulars there. I'm sure you'll hear from at least one of them. But it's been an awesome journey, and yeah, I'm super pumped, man. I'm super excited for Lake Satoshi and to see everybody again. It's my favorite time of year.
Yeah. So I was asking at the beginning of the episode about, what the crossover is between the two meetups within Grand Rapids. But it kind of begs the question, I guess at the very top, like when I was telling my meetup story, there's some rumblings in my area now about a regional meetup, and regional meetups is something that comes up kind of a lot on this show where we're just noticing, it's not just Lake Satoshi. There's a whole bunch of different examples. We talked to Eric, who did Bitcoin is for Everyone. Down in Charlotte, they've got the Halloween. We did the Sound Money Soiree. We've just talked about a whole bunch of different ones on this show. And, one of the points we've always made about those is it's a great excuse to go check out, like go hang out with the other people who go to the meetups. Like, of course, these are bigger events and they could pull in people who aren't meetup regulars, but you got to think a lot of the people who are going to these regional events are the people who are going to the meetups. And so it's just a good excuse to be able to see those guys. So I'm wondering, how's like the cross-pollination in your area? Like, do you get folks, I know, we talked already about Rev, but, are you getting people crossing over? Do you get guys from your meetup who go off to some of these other ones? Like, how's your relationship with some of the other meetups in like Michigan or that area?
Yeah. So I was actually able to attend, the Southwest, Bitcoin Michigan meetup, Rev's meetup. And it was, there was a few familiar faces. But for the most part, I think there was a lot of new faces, but there is some cross-pollination. With the two Grand Rapids meetups, I feel like there's a lot more. There's only a few guys that I really see going, strictly to the factory. And then I think my family's probably the only one that comes to the social media that hasn't been to the factory. But yeah, there's some good cross-pollination there. The regional meetups, you guys got me started on that, wanting to do a regional meetup. And then I was sitting there all worried about, what are we going to do? What's the agenda? Planning this, planning that. And then I was actually speaking to Rev at the social meetup, and he was saying how he had originally planned to do this weekend. And they ended up just, shooting the shit, hanging out all weekend. And the agenda kind of just got tossed out the window. So that was what really made me decide to go, all right, well, we can do this. So I actually booked, the Drury Inn in Grand Rapids, from November 6th through the 8th. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's a code. I'm sure, you guys will probably have it somewhere in the show notes. I picked that because if you get people coming from all over the place, the Drury Inn does dinner and they do drinks. So Friday night we'll have dinner, provided by the hotel. Saturday morning they do breakfast. We got to figure out what to do for lunch. But Saturday dinner is taken care of with drinks, and then they'll do Sunday breakfast. I originally thought about doing it in Fort Wayne, and that's probably going to be the goal, is to eventually have one in Fort Wayne. Just because you have so many cities within a 3-hour drive, You got South Bend, you got Toledo, Ann Arbor, Indianapolis, Lansing, Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Dayton, Ohio. You got Chicago, Detroit, Cincinnati, and Columbus, all within a 3-mile radius. And I think that, you know, the people that attend these meetups want to attend, you know, more and you know, cross-pollinate. And I think this is going to be a great way to do it.
Yeah, so we haven't. I guess we haven't really talked too much about the event yet. So I think you guys are calling it a White Paper Day meetup. Is that what the title is going to be, or it just happens to be around there, and that's kind of the excuse to have it? Or I guess how did this event come up, and maybe you could just talk about what it is and where it is, and a little bit more generally.
Yeah. So. You know, I listen to you guys regularly, and so, you know, you were talking about a regional meetup, so that's where it started. I wanted to do it in Fort Wayne, but I was like, that's pretty far away. I don't know, you know, who's going to join. And then, you know, I didn't really know if what we're going to have an agenda. And so I was, like I said, I was kind of talking to Rev, and he's just like, yeah, you know, we were supposed to do all this stuff, and then we just ended up, you know, hanging out, shooting the shit all weekend and drinking and having a good time. You know, Bitcoiners all in the same spot. So that's kind of what it is. It's just an excuse for everybody to get together. But it's also an excuse to bring the fam. You know, I bring mine to the meetups. You know, I like the community, and I want to see more of it, and I want to see more people get involved. And so, yeah, I think this is a good excuse to bring the family, or at least not to have an excuse, but, oh, you know, I can't do it because I got kids. Oh, nope, everybody can come. You know, there's a pool there. So, yeah, hopefully it'll be a good time, but, you know, we'll figure we'll see how it goes. And, you know, maybe the year after we'll have an agenda. You know, I don't really know what it's going to be called. It just happens to be right around White Paper Day. But I just figured we got Lake Satoshi. You know, end of July or early August. And so I figured November is probably a good time to host the next one. And then, you know, if this goes well, then, you know, maybe we'll see some more on the calendar.
So there are some, one of the things, I guess, and Rev, I'm sure you remember this. I don't know if you've had another one of these, but 2 years ago at Grassroots, we did this thing called the Unconference. And I've always, ever since I saw that format, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that, but ever since I saw that format live, I was kind of always thinking, boy, this sure would be an easy thing for, or kind of anybody to do. If I guess for maybe if you're familiar or not, maybe it'd be worth just for the people listening. So an unconference, the way that it works is you basically, you know, the organizer maybe stands up and kind of talks about the rules and what's going on. And then it's just like you just invite people up. Like, hey, if you have an idea of something that you'd like to talk about, just raise your hand. And they'll call you up to the stage, and you'll get like 1 or 2 minutes to just explain what your topic is and like what your idea is for like a little breakout or a side session, what you want to talk about. And then you write it down. And then people just basically vote. Like, we just raise hands, and they pick the top like 5 or 6 topics. And those all, we pick times and split out, and those are that's kind of becomes the agenda. Just you develop it right there on the spot. So I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that or if that's something you'd be interested in, but that could be potentially like a low level kind of lift way of, you know, you get built in kind of speakers, right? Because people are raising their hands with topics. You might be able to pre-seed, right? Like a few people to get, you know, hey, can you make sure you bring up, you know, this topic or that topic. But anyway, you know, I guess I was thinking if you guys don't have an agenda or if you're looking for things to do while you're there, that could be an interesting idea.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome. Maybe we can get Rev to give the 9 forms of capital presentation again so my family can hear it.
Yeah, you know what? We're kind of like brainstorming on air here about it. And I think like, it's interesting because I know there's a limited number of rooms that you've got in the block, right? How many is it?
Well, we got 10 right now, but we can get more. So depending on, you know, how quick it fills up or, you know, how many people want to come, we can absolutely expand the block. The block of rooms is called Genesis Block. So if you call in, that's that's what you gotta, you know, tell them. But there's a code that they gave me that you can post in the show notes. It doesn't work on the app, but it'll work online, so you can book online. But there's a, you know, there's discounted rooms, and so we can definitely expand. But I wasn't sure, you know, who would actually want to come. So and so the 10 is the minimum they would allow me to have. So we started with 10.
So here's an interesting idea. So like, let's say you, those 10 rooms get booked up pretty quick. If there's a way to somehow get like a group chat going of all the people who are looking to attend, then you could sort of start the unconference discussion before in advance, right? So in of those 10 people, you can kind of figure out, okay, who's got a yearning to learn, you know, what do you want to learn? And then maybe there's somebody in that group of the 10 rooms that knows about that information. They just say, hey, yeah, I can do a little something about that. And this is kind of getting back into the idea from permaculture of this polyculture. You know, it's going to be kind of random who ends up deciding to come to this. But once it is defined, then the whole idea of the unconference is to access the potential of the people there. And so you find out like, okay, what are the people that are coming really want to know about? And then is there some expertise amongst these people to then distribute that intellectual capital out to them? And so that might be an interesting way to, you know, figure out the direction, because maybe it's going to be, you know, a bunch of people with families. And as we White Paper Day is, it's Halloween. And so maybe there could be fun stuff, not just Bitcoin stuff, like we kind of kicked around the idea of trick or treating or a costume party or, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think the poll thing was, when we were talking at the two guys meetup, and you're like, you know, we just had a good time. You know, we didn't really have, you know, the agenda kind of got tossed out the window. We just kind of went with the flow. You know, that's kind of the plan for the first year. Cause you know, I don't know how big the space that we're going to be able to get is, you know, the total city we can get a conference room. I don't know how many people are going to show up, but, you know, as we move this thing along, and I think after the first year, the unconference thing sounds awesome. And I think we can absolutely do that. But yeah, I think we'll be able to take a look at the space, and then, you know, the second year we're like, well, we should do this, we should do that. And just kind of build it organically versus forcing it. Because at the end of the day, you know, I was like not even going to do this thing, because I was like, I don't know, you know, who's going to speak or what. And then it was just like, you know what, let's just get everybody together and just see what happens. You know, Bitcoiners are notorious for making stuff happen. So, you know, let's just see what kind of demand there is. And yeah, hopefully it's overwhelming and we have to, you know, open the block up a lot more. And yeah, it'd be pretty awesome to see a lot of people interested.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago. Actually, the way that I sort of first met a lot of the other meetups in my area, I had started my meetup, but I had only just started it. And there was a regional event out in Boston, and they called it like the Freedom Fest. And I had heard about it a little bit, and I think I might have saw it on meetup.com. But the organizer from out in Boston, he kind of like made the circuit. Like he went around, he made a point of it to stop at each of the sort of meetups within driving distance at least once. And he came out to our meetup and, you know, just hung out, and we gave him a couple minutes. You know, he obviously wanted to talk about the event. And, you know, a few of us ended up going out there, and I'm not sure that would have happened, you know, the other way. So it definitely, we talked about the cross-pollination before, and that's really where that kind of stuff can shine, whether, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be you, but especially if you know people who are heading to the other meetups, I don't know, try to get it. Like if you can do like flyers or something like that, like to get the word out with the information and, you know, try to hype it up a little bit. I think, you know, you could probably get those numbers up, doing something like that.
Yeah. I'm hoping to spread the word at Lake Satoshi, with people that I talk to. And I'm hoping that, you know, we have a really good, you know, Michigan crew already. So I'm hoping that the Michigan crew will show out And yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of places nearby, and, you know, if this goes well, like I said, hopefully we can put one in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and really, really draw some people in and, you know, have everybody show up and come to the same spot. And, you know, you never know what's going to come of it. You never know what two Bitcoiners are going to meet. And then, you know, maybe they'll start their own podcast, or, you know, maybe two people will meet and, you know, decide to start selling something together. You know, you never know. But, you know, I figured let's get everybody together, and the regional meetup, like you guys, and I absolutely got it from this podcast and you guys talking. You know, it just sounded like a good idea, and figured let's do it.
There's a lot
That's so sweet, man.
There's a lot of times I think that this is kind of shifting gears a little bit here, but it just got me thinking, you know, like as somebody that goes to a meetup, like people that go to meetups, they're often looking to really participate in Bitcoin and contribute as much as possible. And, you know, Grand Rapids is, it's got this like really amazing, deep technical knowledge, you know, whether people are tangentially related or, you know, coming from just an hour or two away, making wallets, running routing nodes, Lightning routing nodes, just a lot of deep technical information and knowledge. And then there's, you know, I'm kind of bringing some mining knowledge. There's circular economy stuff going on, people producing stuff like Matthew D with his soap, and Jackie with some of his homestead products, and Otis Bittmeyer with his coffee. There's a lot going on, and you know, you started coming to the factory meetup, seeing all that. And I think you got the idea to show up with a little cooler and doing the value for value beverages, which I thought was great. But really, what I'm getting at here is that, you know, I find your role as a leader is you're like this prolific orange pillar, you know, where you constantly are going out, and you're always telling stories. Oh, I was talking to this person. I was trying to, you know, I've been working on getting them hooked up with Bitcoin. And I'm sure you got some stories, both successes and failures on this. You know, it's one thing, it's really hard to code and develop a Bitcoin wallet. And it's really hard to really nail a Lightning routing node, but it's also really hard to orange pill people. And that's an important role to play. And so I see you as this person who's an excellent orange piller. And so I'd love to hear some of your stories in relation to that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a salesman at heart. I've been told I can sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. But, you know, with Bitcoin, it's just, I feel like it's a moral obligation. Like it's a moral issue to tell people about it. You know, currently I'm trying to orange pill my pastor. Which not everybody thinks it's a great idea, but I think it is. You know, I think that the more people we can orange pill, the better. My successes, I have way more failures than successes. My family's been probably the most successful just because, you know, they're my family. They're kind of forced to listen to me. We're pretty close. We hang out a lot. You know, my brother lives across the street. My other brother lives about 5 minutes down the road, and my parents live about 5 minutes down the road, and my mother-in-law lives about 5 minutes down the road. So we're all pretty close, and, you know, we don't keep the family separate. We definitely cross-pollinate. I'm always seeing my brother's, you know, his in-laws. And so we're all pretty close, and, you know, they have to listen to me because, you know, I'm always around. So that's probably my biggest success, is been able to get, you know, my parents on a Bitcoin standard, get my brothers on it. You know, most of it in self-custody Bitcoin. I know we got some retirement accounts out there that I've been able to, you know, tell them to get some retirement exposure, but, you know, they know that the real deal is the self-custody. But yeah, I've struck out, with my close friends. You know, that was probably the biggest, strikeout. And it started because I was talking to him very early in my journey. And, you know, the kid who is in the back of the class learning, you know, has no business teaching the class. And that's what I've learned along the way. Now I'm, you know, a few years in, and, you know, thousands of hours of podcasts and, you know, lots of audio books. And now that I'm this far in, you know, I've been able to more or less stay away from talking Bitcoin and a lot of times just talking the actual system itself, you know, because I don't think people really value a solution if they don't really understand the problem. And so I've been trying to shed a lot of light on the problem, and hopefully they ask for the solution, and then, you know, Bitcoin's right there.
Yeah, I would say my biggest orange pill are all my family. Also, my parent, I think my mom actually might have been the first person I really orange pilled who actually got it and actually started to do kind of research on her own, which was really surprising because she, of all the people that I could have orange pilled first, I wasn't sure that she would be the one to get it. But she did. She got it. She got it actually way before my father did. But my parents actually, I think you said your family comes to your meetup, and I was going to mention that too before. So my parents are always at my meetup, and actually, I just told a story on the last podcast. I didn't mention it, but the guy I was telling the story about, his name is Steve, and he's my cousin. And so, you know, a few of the members of a few of our regulars are from my family too. So, but yeah, that's really cool that at least you've gotten that time with your family. And it sounds like you guys are really close. So I guess, you know, there's a lot of trust built into that relationship.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it does help that I drag them along to the meetups and then they get to see, you know, all these really smart people. You know, I won't dox them, but yeah, they've been able to interact and talk with people and realize that, you know, it's not just me who's into this thing. There's a lot of really smart people into it. I think that built a lot more trust in, you know, in Bitcoin. And, you know, I remember my brother texting me when it was at 126 and he's like, man, I wish I bought more. Like just, you know, he was just all bumming out. And, you know, now that it's been down, I looked at him and I'm like, you know exactly what to do. And he's like, yep, I'm smash buying. So it's been awesome to see, you know, all my family building their life rafts and, you know, getting out of the fiat system. And, you know, we're starting to spread it around the value for value. You know, I've actually orange pilled the pizza shop, Lombardo's, which is down the road from Two Guys Brewing in Wyoming, but they also have a shop in Jenison, Michigan. So they accept Bitcoin. Yeah, it's been an awesome journey, and, you know, just trying to explain to them like, hey, you know, when there's stuff for sale at the, you know, meetup, you know, spend your Bitcoin and, you know, just buy some more and replace it, spend, replace. And, you know, I think that's the big thing is getting that circular economy going. You know, when you start to pay attention and you realize, yeah, if you're shopping on Amazon, you're shopping at a big box store, you know, that money gets shipped out of your community. But when you're paying someone like, you know, you're paying Matthew D for soap, you know, Matthew D lives in Michigan. So, you know, that money stays in Michigan. So I think that's a big thing is, you know, actually getting back to, you know, spending money with people that sell stuff for Bitcoin. And I think that's the biggest opportunity right now. You know, the fiat, you know, world is saturated with businesses, but the Bitcoin side of the world is not saturated with businesses. So, you know, any entrepreneurs out there, this is your, you know, this is your sign. You know, figure out what to do, figure out what to sell, you know, start making your Bitcoin business.
I'm curious, you know, I didn't really ever put it together. I do see your family there every social meetup that I attend in Grand Rapids. And I'm wondering, you know, we talked a little bit about how you attending the meetups has really leveled up your understanding of Bitcoin, got you kind of seeing some different angles of Bitcoin that maybe you wouldn't have access to if you're just on the internet or if your family's just hearing, you know, your side of the story. I mean, obviously your family's there listening to me. I'm pretty adamant about the no KYC Bitcoin. Definitely talking about a lot of stuff I'm sure that you're not necessarily talking about to them all the time. And I'm wondering if any of that's sort of rubbing off on them, if they're getting some information through osmosis by just being at these meetups all the time.
I absolutely think so. You know, my parents ask more and more about self-custody. you know, not that they're not doing it, but they're always asking more questions about it. Yeah, there's, you know, with, I think privacy is the big thing that has, you know, rubbed off on them. You know, probably before Bitcoin, they would just be like, oh, you know, I got no reason to be private. I'm not doing anything wrong. And now they think they see the value in, you know, not being spied on. You know, you don't have to be hiding something. It's just none of their business. And so I think a lot of that is rubbing off on them. But it's, like I said, it's nice to have them there because they get to hear the other side of things. Yeah, I think that education, that real world education that they get from talking to people, like PF was at the last meetup, you know, and he's talking about El Salvador. And now my parents are like, hey, can we go to El Salvador next summer? And it's like, well, this is awesome. Like, I thought I'd have to beg the family to go to El Salvador, but you know, now they're like, hey, we need to go down there. We need to go say hi to PF. We need to go say hi to Mike. You know, they think it sounds awesome.
And this is another example of like the when Bitcoiners get together, you realize opportunities that weren't there. Like, not only do they have a reason to go to El Salvador because they know someone that's been there and they hear the good stories, but also it's like PF has a place you can go stay at, and now that's available, and it makes figuring out that trip a whole lot easier, you know. And it's just this, going to the meetups connects you so much deeper into all these opportunities that are available in the Bitcoin economy, the Bitcoin culture. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, like you said, being able to spend those sats with PF, you know, just like with you, you know, we could have stayed in a hotel for our anniversary, but my wife was like, let's go stay at Rev's Yurt. You know, that was what she wanted to do. She likes to camp, you know, she misses the trailer. She likes your yurt because it's, you know, not a tent. So we can stay in that and then get that camping atmosphere. But then also, you know, she likes the fact that she gets to spend that, you know, those sats with you, versus paying some hotel chain. So, I do think, you know, and all that has rubbed off on her because if, you know, she attends the meetup. So, you know, I got a lot to be thankful for, and I can thank the meetup for a lot of it.
So I talk about this 9 forms of capital. We've talked about it a bunch already on this recording. And so it sounds like the meetup is starting to yield not just social capital in the connections that you make, and not just the ability to spend your Bitcoin with people like me or whoever else would be coming there with stuff, Matthew D., Otis Pittmeyer, for example. But now you're getting just this cultural capital, that all of these different forms, there's just so much that comes out of coming to the meetup beyond just getting together at Two Guys Brewery for a couple beers and some lively discussion about Bitcoin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, I think I mentioned they used to go there on the regular on Mondays. They got those big old steins and you can get them filled up for $5. And, you know, Bitcoin's kind of changed me because, you know, now I want to actually get healthier. You know, I'm a big dude, you know that. But I'm probably down 40 some pounds. And I, you know, attribute that to Bitcoin, lowered my time preference. And, but yeah, we attend the meetups, and I think that at Two Guys, and I think they're completely different, from when I used to go. You know, having those Bitcoiners there, having those conversations, that cultural capital. But there's, you know, there's tons of stuff I get out of it. You know, I would have never met you. You know, as I'm looking out my back window at the rabbits eating my garden right now that I want to just go chase out of there, you know, I'm reminded of all the compost I bought from you. And I wouldn't have that if I hadn't attended the meetup. And my garden's never looked better. The raspberry bushes we planted on the side of the house that you gave me, that I got from you, you know, those are going crazy. My daughter loves them. So yeah, it's, there's, you know, there's a lot that I get out of it. Yeah, the Bitcoin info is just one of the many things.
Awesome, man. Well, we are hitting, we're getting kind of close to the hour mark here. And I guess I mentioned it early in the show, but because this podcast isn't going to be coming out for a couple weeks, we have a different second half of the show. So normally what we do in the second half of the show is our big value for value section where we talk about the leaderboards and website stuff. And we do like a giveaway for meetups and we could read off the boosts. But because this is a little bit off cycle, and we want to save up all those boosts for when they're more alive. We had proposed this kind of new thing. And what the new thing is we have some guests from, the Michigan kind of Bitcoin meetup scene who have agreed to join us for what we're calling a community roundtable. So I guess before we transition to the community roundtable section, I guess Buffalo, I just wanted to give you like another chance to talk about, you know, anything that you wanted to bring up that you didn't get a chance to, or if you wanted to shill a little bit more on, the White Paper Day, conference meetup, regional meetup. Or I guess if you had any key takeaways from this episode, I'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah, I think I've said a lot, and I'm pretty sure about 10 seconds after I start answering the question, I've already forgotten what I was talking or what the question was, and just kept it going. I'm a talker, I can do that. I see the crew in waiting, and I'm super pumped to hear from them. I'm a very, very small part of the meetup. The meetup is made up of all these people, so I'm super pumped to hear from Jackie. He's the main organizer for the technical meetup. And I think he's the one that started the Grand Rapids meetup. So I'm excited to hear from him. Hopefully we hear some origin stories. I see Matthew D in the chat. I love the last episode. It's always good to see Matthew. I see Bruce is here. I'm excited to get to this new format, and I'm excited to hear from the crew.
Yeah, I guess awesome. Before you take us over there, Reed, and you can finish off with your key takeaways here, I just want to say, that I've just been so excited to finally get over here on the show to talking with some of the, it's been a long time coming, to get some of the Michigan local Bitcoiners on the show and hearing about the amazing meetup culture we have in Michigan. And I'm so proud to be part of it and just to know everybody in Michigan, part of the Bitcoin culture. And it's really cool to try out this format. Buffalo, I got so excited when the way I was feeling it was like the Grand Rapids meetup started off as a social at Founders. And Founders, eventually you get to the point where, yeah, we want to do something more than just have beers. And so then it led to the more technical roundtable meetup at the factory. But that kind of let the Founders meetup kind of die off. And then eventually it kind of came back for a while. But like you said, there was issues with the parking and there's like, maybe we can find a better venue. And I think you just stepped up and said, hey, I'll take control of this. And you organized it and you kind of revived the social meetup from Founders over there at Two Guys. And I do commend you for just stepping up. And I don't think anyone asked you to do it. And I think you just realized like, hey, this is an opportunity for me. And here we are with a whole nother opportunity for people in Grand Rapids to get together and meet socially. So I thank you for that. Reed, if you have any key takeaways from the discussion, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was great to hear about all this cool stuff. And I love to hear, we talk about this podcast springing up new meetups, but it sounds like Lake Satoshi was able to spring up a new meetup too. Anytime that we get an opportunity to get together, especially with the bigger audiences or at the regional meetups, new connections are made and new voices are heard. And it really just gets the spark of creativity or of innovation or whatever it is that you needed to hear to get things going. And yeah, man, Bitcoiners are builders, especially, if you're actually going to the Bitcoin meetup. So it's really good to hear from somebody else who's taken that up and, starting meetup and now organizing the regional event. Definitely good, great to hear. So really glad to have you on, Buffalo. And it was nice for me to meet you. So thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, of course, guys. You know, just a message to the audience. This is just proof that you can pretty much, you know, just do it. You don't have to have any agenda or, you know, whatever. Just if you're feeling it, just go for it. You know, you'll fake it till you make it. You'll pick it up along the way.
Awesome. Well, so I think what we can do is transition to this new section called the Community Roundtable. So, Rev, I guess for those of you listening, some of this might not be transparent for you, but we're totally trying a brand new format. Most of the time we record in Riverside, giving you a little peek behind the curtain a little bit. We record in Riverside, but this time, in order to get all the to get the invite out and to get a much wider audience to participate here in the recording, we actually are doing this through Corny Chat. And so if you haven't heard of Corny Chat is a Noster-based app that you can call into, and it's really just audio-only sharing. It kind of reminds me of almost like back in the Clubhouse days, for those of you who participated in that. So we've got the audience here on Corny Chat. We're recording on Riverside, and so we're a little bit all over the place. The audio might sound a little bit different, but that's okay because we were able to have everybody here. So actually, Rev, I was going to ask you, since you spend a lot more time over here on Corny Chat than I do, if you wanted to get the roundtable kind of kicked off, or I don't know if you wanted to go around and do introductions, but maybe you could take it away for us.
Yeah, sure. I think the easiest thing to do is let's just go. I see there's four people here. And why don't we just have everyone introduce themselves one by one? We can start with Jackie, then Matthew D, go ahead and introduce yourself, then Bruce, and then Diesel. So kick it off, Jackie. Say hello. Let us know what's going on.
Hey, fellas. Awesome interview. Been enjoying the show thoroughly. For the audience, I'm Jackie. Started the Grand Rapids Bitcoin Meetup, which has kind of turned more into a part of the Michigan Bitcoin community or Freedom Tech community. Around 2022, and I can kind of go into that origin story. I find it interesting. We all kind of, I think Rev, you and I at least have witnessed the propagation of the meetup scene throughout Michigan overs, and it's been really interesting to see how far it's come. But yeah, I won't take up too much time with the intro. On to you, Matt.
Hey everyone. Yeah, Matthew D. I'm checking in from just basically representing the Ann Arbor meetup, and I won't introduce myself too much. If you do want to hear more about what we have going on the east side and the Ann Arbor meetup, check out episode 21. This was a great I think this is a great new format that you all are trying with Local Bitcoiners podcast. I can't wait to see more of these community based pods and just hear the great rips from different communities all around. I think I can pass it over to Bruce now.
Yes. Hello. I'm Bruce. Yeah, I got started with the whole Grand Rapids Bitcoin meetup by searching for it on meetup.com, and it got involved at the founders meetup initially. I was on the lookout for a group of people that I could talk about Bitcoin with, and found them right away. And got in. Also really enjoyed the technical meetups that happen at the factory. I'm a technical guy, I work in IT, so that suits me. And really enjoyed learning from all the presentations there. So I think Diesel's next.
Hey, yeah, good to hear from you guys. I didn't catch the full first half of the episode, so I'm excited to go back and listen to it, but glad that I remembered to hop in here. I also, similar tune, started in the founders meetups back in 22 when Jackie was running them. Fell off a little bit. Buffalo, I think I've only been to one that you were running down at the factory. I enjoyed it. It was a smaller one as well, but been in the space for a while and enjoy the local meetups. very, very much, just to hang out with fellow like-minded Bitcoiners.
Cool. Well, thanks for introducing yourselves, everyone. I think the best way to continue this is to just kind of start off with a simple question. And for me, I guess the question that I have for everybody is, you know, everyone in this recording right now has kind of been hanging out in the Michigan meetup culture for a long time, for years. And so I'm wondering, you know, what's the biggest thing you've gotten out of being a participant in Bitcoin meetups in general? And I guess we can start with Buffalo and then head on in the same order, Jackie, Matthew D, Bruce, and then Diesel.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's the friendships, hands down. The friendships have been awesome. The people that I've met have been awesome. You know, I've been out on, when I asked him what he wanted to have his name as, he said, Alexa, order 10 copies of Thank God for Bitcoin. So I've been out on his boat in Muskegon, and, you know, that's been a lot of fun. You know, people invite you to do stuff outside of the meetups, and, you know, I've had some people over. Hands down, the people, the friends.
Yeah, I definitely second that, what Buffalo said. It's really the community building, you know, how they say, like, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And the people that I've met through the meetup space are of very high caliber, integrity-wise, intellectually. So, you know, it was kind of a one-up in my friendship space to just be connected with so many people. And then, you know, just kind of spanning outside my local region into the greater Michigan area. And I think it's pretty valuable just to build that social capital, you know, definitely in your close local region, but also, like, it's not too far to be able to head over to Lansing or head over to the Benton Harbor area and hang out and talk with, you know, some of the best friends that I've made. You know, I've invited a few of the members over to my wedding, and we've gone to others' weddings as well. And it's just, it's kind of crazy where it's spanned beyond just, yeah, these are some guys that I nerd out about Bitcoin with, to just being like, these guys are, I want to spend some actual quality time with. I want these people to meet my family. You know, I trust these people. You're developing this circle of trust locally. And then you can create, you know, this whole marketplace that we speak so often about as well. So there's a lot of trading that goes on, but there's a lot of intellectual trading. You know, we feed off of each other and learn from each other quite a bit. So just the value that you get out of getting away from your desk and heading out to speak with people face to face. Yeah, it's really valuable.
It's hard to follow that. I think, yeah, the folks that I've met across the state of Michigan have been amazing. And, you know, we have a shared interest, which is always great for, like, this concept of a third space, which is definitely, it's kind of taking the back seat post-COVID, I think, for a lot of people. But Bitcoin meetups act as that third space for me. And I was thinking about all of the opportunities every month to make it to a new city to meet maybe some new faces. As I was making a drive today, I took a little road trip this weekend. And we have, you know, we're very blessed in Michigan where we can do that. And I think, you know, just from my perspective, the different meetups all offer something a little different in their different settings and different cities. But yeah, just that shared connection with other folks is amazing. And I really enjoy the conversations that I have. You know, there's different perspectives that come from different people and all of their different backgrounds and careers that make me maybe think about Bitcoin in a different way. And I wouldn't get that. You know, I wouldn't get that just listening to endless podcasts, walking through the woods. And yeah, it's been great. It's been a great few years. And I think all of the people that I've had the chance to speak to, and, you know, I think about all the people that have done the work to host the meetups, you know, every month, month after month, and it becomes a grind. And I'm very grateful for all of those folks. And yeah, I just wanted to end on, and you know, this little point on that, that I am eternally grateful for the meetup culture in Michigan that we have. And I think we'll make it through this bear market based on, you know, what I'm hearing here. I don't think this bear market is anything other than just a little blip in the radar, but yeah, it's been great. So I'll pass it over to Bruce now.
Thanks. For me, it's been the community. I was looking for a group of people that can help me know that I wasn't crazy, that I dove as deep into Bitcoin as I had. And without the community of members here, I don't think I would have lasted. So it's kind of like an accountability group in a sense. So that's probably the single biggest thing that I've done is just the community here. And that's provided me with a considerable amount of staying power that I wouldn't have found elsewhere. I could hand it off to Diesel.
Yeah, I you know, echo obviously a lot that's been said. I biggest takeaway I think is some of the value for value stuff, like you know, exchanging sats for cash, like peer-to-peer Bitcoin sales. Otis Bittmeyer, getting coffee from him, bringing that back to my family. I think that's really huge from just a grassroots level. So I really, really enjoyed that. Admittedly, haven't really spent a lot of time with fellow meetup participants outside of the meetups over the years, just life and personal life and little kids and stuff get in the way, it seems. But the second piece, I think, is just like kind of piggybacking off what Bruce said, but just like hope, you know, seeing and talking and sharing these similar, you know, deep views and you know, on something that I'm so passionate about and have been for so many years, like seeing that person across from you and that small group of people across from you and, you know, having that similar viewpoint just kind of offers you hope in what feels like a lot of times just a really crazy and silly world.
Yeah, man, those are all great. I really appreciate you guys going around like that. And you know, hearing how much you guys are talking about your communities and the friendships and everything, it kind of makes me think it almost, I'm just like kind of putting connecting dots here, right? Like one of the things that we say on the show, I've said it a whole bunch of times, is, you know, in Bitcoin, we've got the one to many kind of communication. We've got that down. You know, with the number of books that are out there, the number of talks that have been recorded at conferences and podcasts, you know, we have all of those. There's, if you want to learn something about Bitcoin, you can listen to somebody talk to, you know, tell you about it or whatever. What we don't have a lot of, and what I think people go to the meetups for, are those smaller group connections, right? Where you can just sit around and talk with people about what you've learned. You know, you don't really get to do that from just listening to a podcast, being only on the consumer side. And so, you know, that's what I'm hearing is, you know, those small groups, you know, those build strong connections, and then strong connections build strong communities. And then out of those come great, you know, long lasting relationships and friendships. So it's really great to hear all of you, you know, kind of talk about that. And it was funny just going right down the line, right? Just one after the other, kind of bringing that up. And it's certainly true for me too. I would absolutely echo that from my experience in Bitcoin and at the going to the meetups is, you know, I've, like I said before, you know, these are some of my best friends now. Really, they are my best friends that I spend, you know, time with them outside the meetup and, we go to each other's houses and, you know, have great times together. So, totally echo what you guys are saying, and it's just great to hear you guys all kind of agree on that.
So I'll I'll add my thoughts here, but while I'm talking, maybe Reed, you can come up with the next question here for everybody to try and dig through. And so for me, you know, I came into homesteading through this permaculture lens. I basically wanted to insulate myself from the problems of the world. And I wanted to be sovereign, and I wanted to produce my own food and electricity and have my access to water. And I wanted to be a man on an island that was, you know, kind of build my own citadel, so to speak. And I really quickly realized, like, man, this is super hard to do this all by myself. Like, Buffalo's in such a wonderful position to have his whole family kind of right down the road from him. I am the opposite of that. I'm very separated from any sort of immediate help and family. And so before I knew about Bitcoin and before I started going to Bitcoin meetups, I was thinking, okay, I gotta find these fellow permaculture folks. How do I find these permaculture folks? Well, I'm going to have to start go to the library and do a permaculture video screening and find the permaculture people. And it just so happened, as I was getting ready to start doing that, I found Bitcoin, and that sort of sidetracked that whole thing. I went down this Bitcoin rabbit hole, and I was completely obsessed with Bitcoin. I kind of forgot all about the community aspect. I was like, whoa, this Bitcoin thing is way more important than anything right now. It was a whole missing piece to the sovereignty aspect that I was trying to live my life through. I didn't realize that I could have sovereign money. And so once I kind of grokked that, and then shortly after found meetups, I realized, like, I don't need to find the permaculture people. I need to find the Bitcoiners. And I started off at the Southwest Michigan meetup. Then I quickly found my way to Grand Rapids. And then shortly after I started going to the Grand Rapids meetup, the Mid-Michigan meetup spun up. And then shortly after that, the Ann Arbor meetup spun up. And before you knew it, there was like just a plethora of meetups in Michigan to go to. And so through going to that, I started to build this web of a community. And I realized too, like, the not only am I sharing this social capital, I'm building relationships, but now I can distribute my natural capital. Now Buffalo's got some of my raspberries and some of my compost, and Jackie's got some of my livestock, and you know, I'm able to get to provide some food sovereignty to the people that are attending the meetups through selling the stuff that I'm producing for Bitcoin. And now the whole community is connected and stronger, and I have this resilient web of people that I know, should I fail in one area, I can sort of look to them for that backup. And so that's one of the biggest things that I've gotten out of attending these meetups is the resilience of having a community around myself, not just through permaculture. And it just so happens that a lot of the people that were attending these Bitcoin meetups were doing permaculture, knew about permaculture already too. It was too good to be true. And so, yeah, for me, it added this whole another level of resilience and sovereignty to my Bitcoin stack, to my homesteading sovereign lifestyle stack, that I wasn't sure how it was going to manifest. And here it is. And I couldn't in hindsight have figured out a better way to accomplish it. And I'm super grateful for it.
Sick, man. Yeah. So I guess I can tee us up then with the next round, right? Next round of questions. So one of the things we actually haven't asked this question in a little while, but it's always interesting to hear. And we've gotten a couple of good stories over the course of the last whole bunch of episodes that we've done. But I guess the question I'm thinking of is, you know, if you guys could think, and I'll kind of go first just to give you guys a chance to think about it. But if you've had any, like, what are some of the coolest things that you can remember happening at kind of any of the meetups, like whether that just be like a funny story or the coolest kind of connection that was made or some random sort of happenstance that happened to connect you or connect to other people that probably would have never happened if it wasn't for the meetup. And just to give you guys a chance to think about, you know, what that story might be. My story is actually, I happened to actually allude to it in the earlier part of the episode, which is the first Freedom Fest out in Boston. This would have been in, I think it was spring of 2023. So I had kind of just started my meetup. We had like only done a handful of meetups at that point. And I, after that guy came out, you know, I ended up going out to the Freedom Fest, and I happened to meet there first of all, that was actually my first touch point of all places with the Michigan meetup culture, because one of the guys who was there was Captain Youth, and he was telling me all about Lake Satoshi while I was there. He's like, oh yeah, Lake Satoshi's awesome. And he's telling me about the Michigan meetup scene. And that was kind of the first time I had actually heard about it. And at the same Freedom Fest was where I met Liz, who at the time was from Charlotte and is now down in Tampa and has been on the show before. And we've been great friends over the years. She was the one that invited me kind of into this Bitcoin meetup organizer, you know, subculture, which is, you know, she invited me to, or she gave me the invitation to the grassroots Telegram group, and was kind of able, like, everything kind of snowballed just from that one event. And so for me, you know, that first Freedom Fest, you know, it wasn't huge. A lot of the people who came were really just from that local area, like because that was out in Boston. But that was just a really cool event that ended up making some really awesome connections that have really stood the test of time. So I guess we're going to go down in order here, and we'll start with you, Buffalo. Do you have any cool stories or anything that you can think of just from over the years of all the Bitcoin meetups?
Yeah, actually, and thank you for bringing up Captain Youth, because I was struggling to think about what I was going to say. But last year for Bitcoin 2025, Jackie got me a free ticket. I was able to get down there, and I didn't know anybody. So, you know, I'm in the group chat, hey, who's down here? Captain Youth. And I hadn't met him. He hadn't actually been to any of the meetups recently when I was, you know, there. So first time meeting him. And then we met up, and he knew like everybody. So that was awesome. But we, he immediately was like, hey, the deep stack isn't guarded right now and they're serving breakfast. So we quick ran over to the deep stack, which you had to have like a bracelet. I think it was like $10,000 bracelet to get in. But they didn't have anybody there. It was the first day. And so we walked right in, got to hang out and do a ton of different things. They had the, like the blue sky rocket. So we got to go sit in that, but we got free breakfast, and, they had a bar there, and it was a really good time. And, yeah, it was my first time meeting him, and it just goes to show that, like, when you meet a Bitcoiner, like, you know, the good people. And it was the start of a really good friendship.
I guess I can go next. Not really a story, but something that I think is pretty meaningful that's come out of the meetup. I'll give a nod over to the Bitcoin Trade Council. That's kind of spun out of the meetup scene. So Amber, the one who kind of heads up that, along with Shane, has made their way around the Michigan meetup scene and around greater Michigan to kind of like represent Michigan and Bitcoin from a policy level. So they're interested in going into politics, which is something that I and you guys in the room probably know, voiced it quite a bit. That's not my scene. That's not anything I want to be a part of. I always feel like, you know, we don't need them. They need Bitcoin. But there is a role to play for someone to kind of bridge that gap and guide them into the right direction, because Bitcoin's going to find them sooner or later. So that whole thing, and because of Amber, she's a powerhouse. She's been able to really do really well to bring Bitcoin into the light in Michigan policy and at the Capitol. So really grateful for her and everything that she's done. And what's also been pretty cool is as of lately, she's really tried to be a voice for the importance of code as speech and being against prosecuting developers. So something really close to my heart and a lot of other Bitcoiners' heart is like the Samurai guys and all the other guys who've been prosecuted unjustly for simply writing code. And we need some representation in there. And so, you know, after I've had a conversation with her on that, saying like, this is probably the most important thing. If you're going to be talking to all these guys and gals in government, that we need to be able to develop this freedom tech without fear of prosecution, and not to set a precedent of being nervous of, you know, writing code and freeing us in the digital space and building out these tools. So really grateful for them. And I just think that's such a cool thing that's kind of spun up out of Michigan meetup scene. And, you know, without regular meetups for them to attend and kind of build off of, I'm not sure that any of that would have happened.
My story, I was kind of going back and forth between a couple. I think I'll tell this one. This one happened in Michigan, and it's kind of a heavy story, but one of the first meetups I attended, and the first few, there was a guy there who I don't remember his name. Just call him Alex. I think Alex was an attendee throughout 2023, and he was a good Bitcoiner, really good guy. And then I think one month just didn't show up, and kind of wound up falling off of all of our radars. And like a year goes by, and I think it was like summer of 2024. A couple of new people walk into Bitcoin Meetup. We're at the Westside Sports Bar. That was the location of the meetup at the time. And it was a couple of parents. It was some older folks we hadn't seen before. And they start like asking questions about how to access Bitcoin. Like it was very strange. But come to find out, they were actually the parents of Alex. And Alex passed away sometime mid to late 2023. It was kind of like a strange, I don't know how to explain it, but it was ironic. He died in a boating accident. This guy actually, he was out with some friends, and there was probably alcohol involved, but he wound up like going out swimming. You know, it was one of those situations where they took a boat out in the middle of the water, and I think it was dark out, and they couldn't find him. The next day, I think there was a big search for him, and then they wound up recovering his body the next day or something. But it was a heavy, very heavy meetup where it got me to think about my particular situation, and having some discussions with my parents and the people around me about just about death and what that means or what that looks like really as a Bitcoiner. And long story short, the meetup coordinator exchanged details, so they were able to contact her directly. And I'm not sure whatever came of that situation, but it was this moment, it was very heavy, where parents were there looking to us as a resource because they knew Alex came to the meetups and stuff. It was a great, eye-opening moment for myself as a Bitcoiner, but also just, I think it speaks to the importance of some of these meetups, that they are a resource and they can be a resource for folks who, if their loved one dies, they don't know exactly what to do. That story in particular stuck out to me as one worth telling. Again, it's kind of heavy. It's not a great cheerful story, but I think it is kind of more or less a cautionary tale. And these meetups are super important for that reason.
I'll just cut in actually just for one second, Matthew D, because that first of all, that's it is a extremely tragic story. But it to me, it just kind of brings to mind that it's definitely happened in our meetup, where you need to have these places where you can find people locally where you can establish high levels of trust, where now if you can find someone with that level of trust, a lot of us at our meetups have said to our significant others, like, hey, if something ever happens and you really feel like you need help, like accessing our wealth, go to the meetup. right? Or giving an individual person's name, that can make all the difference. And so I thank you for bringing that story up. It is kind of a heavy story and it is a tragedy, and I'm sorry to have to hear about that, but it does bring up that point about how having a community where you have those high levels of trust can be so important. So thank you for sharing. Bruce, did you want to go next?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, actually, Matthew, your story made me think. I mean, I've tried to document everything related to recovering our Bitcoin stash so that my family can recover it. And that's the one thing I didn't put in that documentation. So I'll need to add that. Go to the Bitcoin meetup if you need any assistance with that. So thanks for that reminder. The story I was thinking of is, just the random interactions that we get to see when we go to some of the social meetups. I know Buffalo is really good at trying to orange pill every single waiter or waitress that comes by. So that's fun to watch. But also at the last social meetup, Rev, you sold me some eggs and we're the last ones to leave from the Bitcoin group. And the table next door to us asked me, how can I get some of those eggs? Well, I told them, well, you're going to have to pay Bitcoin to get these eggs. And we keep coming back. And it started a whole conversation with them for like about 10 minutes. I was just sharing with them some of the story of Bitcoin and how they can use it, how they can acquire it. And so that's kind of the stories that I really appreciate seeing is the interactions that can come from the social meetups, being in a more public space, it does attract some attention from people who are slightly interested. And I think that's quite valuable. But it's different than at the factory. You basically need to know that you're interested before you go to the factory. But for the social meetups at the bar, it's more open to strangers, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I think one of the specific examples or stories was I really enjoyed Rev's 9 forms of capital presentation that he put on in one of our more technical meetups. And it kind of just, I think, you know, puts emphasis to that this whole thing is bigger than just what, I don't know, on the surface you would think capital, you know, is, and it's money, but this mindset, this, you know, kind of way of doing things is much bigger than that. I did really enjoy that. But I think, you know, not necessarily a specific story, one of the things that I've enjoyed, and I've been, you know, it's been a while since I've been more consistent in going to the meetups with kind of where life has taken me recently, but is like over the years, just the diversity, you know, throughout the social gatherings, technical meetups, you know, some of them, when you're in a bull market, a lot more people that may only be at one or two or whatnot, but then, you know, just the diverse range of people, going to the Lansing meetup, you know, seeing those folks as well, you know, I think is so cool. You know, you can, there's no one, bill fits all for a background of how you end up at these things. And I just think that's really cool.
I guess I'll, cap it off with a couple of stories came to mind. You know, one of my favorite, factory meetups was when, Jackie organized Seed Signer to come and let everyone know everything about how cool the Seed Signer wallet was, and hearing his story and how he got the whole thing going and everything. But while I was listening to everyone else talk, I did remember, you know, there are moments where, you know, there's just these oddball folks that kind of come in. They don't come very often. But when they come, they tend to, I wouldn't say crash out, but they just kind of, their energy takes over the meetup and it just creates this really memorable experience. And one of these times was when, I don't know if I'm doxing him or what, but I'm sure he probably won't mind. This guy Greppels showed up to the Grand Rapids meetup, and you know, for some reason, I don't remember what we were trying to talk about, but he got on this whole diatribe about, like, you know, why Bitcoin is already won, and how Bitcoin's the greatest, and just like we could not get a word in. You know, he was just monologuing for what seemed like 45 minutes. And we were like, dude, you're preaching to the choir here. I just left that meetup thinking like, this is amazing that people can just come in here with this passion and just let it go, you know? And almost every meetup that I attend is like that. But that one was just like exemplary where, you know, it's like, yeah, sometimes it is good to just like, let somebody get up on stage, you know, get on their shoebox or whatever, and just really let it go. And I don't know. It's just, it was like almost like a speech, you know, just like this motivational speech. Not that anyone even needed to hear it, but like it left an impact on me, having Greppels there. And I wish I could run into him more often, but I'm not sure if Greppels has been coming to the factory meetups and I just haven't been there. But man, I will never forget that time that he came and was just like on fire.
It was so funny. I think we had a few like kind of new people who were very unsure of what they were doing there, like, but they knew they should check out this Bitcoin thing. So I remember looking at them being like, oh boy, they're just shocked out of their mind, just having to go through this whole rant. But it was hilarious. And like, yeah, he was so unapologetic about it and just going off. That was a funny one.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a bunch of people in the chat. For those of you listening at home, you can't see the crying laughter emojis that are flying in the corny chat. It kind of seems like a bunch of people might know that story. That's a good one, Rev.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where maybe you had to be there to really to get the gravity of it. Buffalo, did you want to jump in with maybe a little bit more context? I can't even remember like what it was that set him off, but.
No, I was just going to say and just confirm with the, you know, what you guys are saying. It was absolutely hilarious and extremely memorable.
So I guess that's a little inside joke to end that one off, I suppose. But anyways, another thing that kind of came to mind is in this group, there's, you know, we've got some expertise in the first one. Diesel, I haven't seen you in a while. And, you know, I really do appreciate what you're doing for a while, doing the state of the network and kind of the state, like the state of the Lightning Network, and then kind of the state of the meetups and everything on Nostr there. Have you continued to operate that routing node?
No, but you just saying that, I gotta continue to do the weekly reports because, yeah, it's just, you don't hear. Yeah, it's cool to hear that. Thank you, Ref. I got to keep sending out those reports. No, I had a really nice routing node going for a while there. Like a really, really good one. I thought, at least, and it just was too much. I think things have gotten dialed in even a little bit better. But too much, you know, just waste, quite honestly, wasting sats, forced closures, this and that. And, just too much capital. I think that I had out there that I really wanted to, but it was a good experience. I still have my node. I still run it, but I don't really have much capital on there right now.
So what were these reports? I guess I'm not familiar. You said you're reporting out on Nostr. What kind of reports?
Oh, I mean, it's just like a basic, like, I had a few metrics like that I was kind of in, like, keeping track of, and then I would just do like a weekly update. I don't know. It was like, you know, there's probably hundreds of different ones out there, especially now with all of the ways you can get this info automatically. But like address counts of different sizes, over 1 million sats, 10 million sats, 100 million sats, hash rate, just like all kind of in like a more or less, you know, price, obviously, price versus hash rate. maybe like 10 or 13 metrics. Oh yeah, you know, stores accepting Bitcoin, which that's exploded now too with Cash App and everything, but just like a few different metrics, and I would update it every week. I think I called it time preference. And just kind of, you know, you could quickly read it and see it all again. It's all readily and easily accessible info.
Gotcha. So these are like technical stats that you're pulling off your Bitcoin node.
Oh, no, not necessarily my, well, I was, yeah, that's true, Rev. I was throwing in like my, when I was running my node, I was throwing in my like sats earned, like number of transactions and then sats earned. So that was a kind of a big piece of it. And that I just dropped off when I ended the whole routing node thing. Then I kind of just kept it going of more, you know, a lot of the just basic metrics of the network, you know, as in a weekly basis, but I fell off it over the last year. So I do want to just pick it back up because it gets me excited hearing Rev saying you like seeing it.
Gotcha. Well, so I'm a little bit interested in it too, because, one of the things that I've been more interested in recently is some of the long form articles on Nostr. And we have a new section of our website. It's a community feed. So like, I guess maybe for those of you who are not familiar with our website, the way, you know, we have our local Bitcoiners community. And how do you join the community? It's easy. You boost the show with a client that supports boosting with your NPub. So right now, that's pretty much us. So localbitcoiners.com, you can boost the show through there. You can hit us up through Boost Me Bitch. That's Chad F's project, or Fountain. And so, if you hit us up from any of those and you include your NPub with the boost, then, you know, you're in the community. Your NPub is now in the community. And what that means is that we can pull in all of your notes, and other stuff. And so we like to focus kind of more on the other stuff. So not so much the kind one feed, which is, in my opinion, maybe a little bit lower signal, right? That's kind of like the fire hose feed that is your daily driver. So on our website, we have NIP99 listings. So that's like classified listings or items that you can check out for actually for sale with shipping and stuff. We do podcast boosts, which is kind of technically kind one feeds, but it's highly curated and filtered. But the last one, and the one that I'm actually interested in developing a little bit more on next on our website, is these long form articles. So if you have ideas of stuff that you want to publish and you're in our community, you can have those listed right on our webpage. So is that, I guess, maybe the question back to you. So with these reports, were they going out on Nostr as long form notes?
Yeah, they were pretty short. I definitely will do that. I'll throw a boost out. I just did like a little write up, maybe no more than a couple paragraphs on it, but, yeah, you could see them all on my Nostr, which is Diesel.
Awesome.
Diesel at,
sweet.
I was trying to connect it to this corner chat, but I wasn't successful. What is it? Diesel at Nostr Plebs.
Old school. Sick, man.
Yeah, I was, yeah. Yep.
I don't know how we're doing on time. This view is not what I'm used to, but if we're getting close, I do want to hit Jackie up for some of the history, because Jackie did start the Grand Rapids meetup, and I want to hear a little bit of the history of the Grand Rapids meetup and kind of like how your role is changing as the organizer and sort of what you see for meetups for yourself in Michigan moving forward as an organizer.
Yeah, sure thing. I was living overseas at some point, and then you know, while I was there, you know, all throughout kind of the podcast scene and everything, people are talking about, oh, meetups are a great idea. They weren't as prevalent as they are now, but the talk about it was prevalent. Everyone was trying to see where all the meetups were, and you know, everyone wanted a local place to talk with others about Bitcoin. Around that time, it was like, it was big around the conference, like COVID had just happened and people were trying to get to the Bitcoin conference just so that they could get out of their house and say, screw all this lockdown stuff. Let's go meet up. And we wanted a lot more of that. So me being overseas, I was like, I was in Germany and my German's not great. So I wasn't going to host a meetup there. I did attend some of the meetups there. But a lot of them were spoken in German, but I was able to talk to quite a few people in English still and still get something out of it. But I was like, when we get back to Grand Rapids, like Grand Rapids is a great hub in Michigan. Like it's a great city. It's a central point for a lot of stuff. So we need one in Grand Rapids. And so far there's not one. So we came back to Michigan, moved back here. And I think I attended the Southwest Michigan one first or right around the time that we had our first meetup. That's where I met Rev. Heard him on a podcast and knew I wanted to get into permaculture, homesteading, and all of that. So it was great to meet him and then some other people who've become friends since. And I was really inspired by the format of the Southwest Michigan meetup, where it's just, you know, it's very intimate, a couple guys around a table, just taking turns chatting about a topic or whatever, and just kind of see where the conversation goes. So anyways, I started the first social gathering, which was at Founders Brewery. And later that month, there was another meetup that all of a sudden spun up. So I was like, okay, well, let's go to that and see what that's all about. Met the guy who organized that. And we were just like, awesome. Like we were both thinking the same thing. Let's have this go. So he's helped out quite a bit. He's had a lot of family things. So he wasn't able to at that time attend too often, but I was down to have to build out the consistency and make this a regular monthly thing. So we probably went, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months doing the social gathering, maybe less. And then, you know, like I said, I was inspired by the format of the Southwest Michigan meetup. And then we started, I reached around for a bunch of venues, someone that would kind of host a, you know, a quieter atmosphere, something with a projector or something like that, where we could do presentations. Finally landed on the factory. The guys were like, yeah, we offer our conference space for people in the community who are doing good. And it seems like this is a worthwhile thing. It was a tech hub, co-working space. And they were like, yeah, we can host you. You don't have to pay us anything. It's our gift to the community. And so it was kind of perfect. You know, we've been a little bit limited in space from time to time, but overall it's been enough for us. So very grateful for them. But yeah, while we were having the social gathering, you know, the guys from over in the Lansing area headed over and they were like, well, we want to spin up a meetup too. This is awesome. And then I attended their first meetup, and that's where I met the original organizer of the Ann Arbor meetup. And we kind of orange pilled her into starting her own meetup. And so that's how I think I remember Matthew D, you talking about maybe there being an Ann Arbor meetup before that, but I think she kind of re-kickstarted that. And then off of that, there's been these little ones that have offshoots of the place in Colon, Michigan, which is, you know, not really by anything. I've heard there's been some meetups in from time to time in Traverse City. And so it's just kind of forked around the lower Michigan area. There's not much up in upper Michigan, so it's not too surprising that nothing's really started up there. But yeah, since then, it's been going great. The consistency is a real important aspect. I think that's what's helped a lot of people find the meetup. Is just keeping the same time, the same location, the same date. And so kind of the second part of that question, you know, more lately, my life's been getting real busy, you know, been focusing more on family stuff and just kind of pulling back quite a bit from the Bitcoin space in general, more of like the community aspect of that. And just, I wouldn't say pulling back, but kind of narrowed it down to where we were talking at the beginning of this conversation to a few trusted individuals that I remain in contact with that are close. But in terms of attending the meetup, I'm just not able to do it as often. So luckily, you know, people like Buffalo and Bruce as well have been able to kind of grab the reins and keep this thing going. Otherwise, I was a little worried that we'd have to maybe shut it down and only attend when I was able to, because the factory wants, you know, someone trusted who they know who's kind of that head responsible person to kickstart it and shut it down and make sure that everyone, you know, there's no one stealing from the place and everyone's out by the time they close and all of that. So really grateful, and just a message to any other organizers, you know, life happens. If you got to start to step away, try to encourage others who want to take over and to step in place of you. Don't be afraid to delegate that work. And it seems like I haven't been attending much, but it seems like it's still going and it's still going great. So strong work to Buffalo for keeping it going.
And so there was like a moment where the factory meetup was going, and that was kind of the only Grand Rapids meetup. And I think people, they, like you said, that sometimes that room at the factory would get filled up and it was a little cramped. And then when we go to the bar afterwards and hang out, there was that place kind of closed early, and there just wasn't enough time for the social. And so I think, I don't know who started back up the founders, but it split into like, there was, you know, the factory meetup and then the founders meetup. But what was the deal with why the founders meetup kind of turned into now this two guys meetup? Where did that switch?
Yeah, that's a good point, Rev, because that was something where I was just like, oh boy, one meetup's enough for me. Having to be there twice a week or twice a month, is I'm not going to be able to do that. But you're right, there was a lot of demand for that. So one of the guys was just like, you know what, I'm close to downtown. I'm down to host the, you don't really actually need a host as much for the social gathering, as long as you just kind of proclaim that you're all meeting at the bar at this certain time and date, then people show up. But he was one to be like, at least I can be a point of contact, and I'd be down to go to every single one anyways. So he was able to be that consistency for the social gathering. So I'm like, sweet, if someone else wants to make sure that they're there, like, I've got no problem announcing that on the platforms that, you know, we now, in addition to the technical gathering, we're spinning back up the social gathering. And it's really cool. I think Reed, you and I have talked about this before, where, or at least at the grassroots thing, where there's the idea of having the technical one, and it can be really intimidating for a lot of people, especially if it's like a BitDevs type of thing. But what's great about the social gathering is, you know, Bitcoin and a lot of tech in general can be quite intimidating for people. So the social gathering is kind of like that lubricant, that it's a lot easier to be a little bit timid and shy, but just, hey, all else fails, I'll get a couple drinks out of it and just chat with people, and I can leave whenever I want, and I don't have all these eyes looking at me around the table. So I think that's a, if you don't have a social gathering, I think it's a great addition to be able to pull in a certain kind of people, just to be able to find some Bitcoin signal in the city.
Buffalo, do you remember why that social meetup ultimately wanted to switch away from founders? Was it just the fact that everyone wanted to pay in Bitcoin and you couldn't there?
No, because I think we were doing, the factory, which was every Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the month. And then we were doing the two guys meetup. That was the second Monday of every month. And then, what was it, the second Wednesday or the third Wednesday of every month, we were doing the founders meetup. So we had three of them going. And I really hope he enjoys me calling him Alexa, order 10 copies of Thank God for Bitcoin. But he was the one that I think revived that social meetup. And he's the one that I think was just like, yeah, we're going to be done with the founders meetup. I know you had complained about parking. And I know that there was, I feel like there was a couple other complaints. I think the service there was kind of bad. And I don't know, we kind of grew out of it. You know, it was more of a giant corporate bar, I feel like, and we wanted to go a little more local. And so that's what we got, you know, with two guys brewing, like Amy and Tom, and I think they're a lot more Bitcoin aligned. You know, they got a peach tree in their yard, and I remember last fall after they collected all the peach trees, they made some peach jalapeno barbecue sauce for the restaurant. And so yeah, I think they're a lot more aligned with us, and I'm hoping that they'll be able to accept Bitcoin sooner than later. But yeah, I think that's how it kind of, the founders one fell off, and you know, who knows? I my wife's a lifetime member at Railtown Brewing, and I know they had mentioned that they use Square, so they can accept Bitcoin. So who knows? Maybe we'll spin up another social meetup one of these days. We'll see.
I guess what I was really right. Oh, go ahead, Matthew D.
Just to jump in there. Yeah, founders. I've been to a couple of founders meetups, and those were awesome. But just from a business standpoint, as I had my 21st birthday at Founders, and what's happened to that bar brewery over the last several years is kind of a shame, just with the corporatization of it. And yeah, it is changed and stuff. So I can totally get behind the decision to switch to you guys, which is really, it's a really cool place, and they do a great job. I just wanted to throw that one out there too.
I guess what I was poking at here a little bit is that, you know, over time, you know, Jackie was heading the show, you know, really taking the full responsibility. But I think it became clear after the culture sort of really started to come into fruition and flourish that it really could become this decentralized form of organization where it just became the ability for anyone to step up and then, you know, say, hey, this is something I want to try. And then you try it, and eventually you land on what the community wants to do the most. And I really feel like there was never any button heads about it or anything. It just sort of naturally progressed. And so it's just another example of, you know, the way that, you know, the rules that we follow with Bitcoin, when you build the culture around it, the governance or the way we solve problems, it filters down through the same mechanisms that we use to govern our money. And all of a sudden we don't have these big conflicts. It's just like, yes, the best ideas, the most, you know, the most useful formats and places to meet up will rise to the top over time. And as long as somebody in the community is willing to take the responsibility for it and create that consistency, it works. Reed, did you have anything you wanted to add or bring up to try and spark some different discussion here? I once again, I have no idea where we're at on time.
Yeah, no, I was actually going to say we are actually kind of running out of time. I actually was going to really just pivot and say thank you again to the Michigan community for really coming together here. And of course, Buffalo, thank you for coming on and for doing the first part of the show. But then for all the folks, you know, we still have Jackie, Matthew D, Diesel. Thank you guys for coming out and for hanging out with us here. And it was really this, I feel like this community roundtable format was a big success. You know, I think this is, Rev, we're going to have to start thinking about maybe finding ways to sprinkle this in, or maybe we could find a way to streamline it. I know we have lots of ideas for the show, and so not exactly sure where it's going to fit in yet, but this was a good test. And so thank you for sure to the Michigan folks for coming on and representing and telling us all about the really strong Bitcoin scene that exists, Bitcoin meetup scene that exists in Michigan.
Yeah, I guess any of the people, any of our community listening, let us know what you think of this format, if we should do it more often, if there's anything that you wish you would have gotten out of it that you didn't, or what you really liked. You know, we need some feedback on this. I thought it was an awesome, I certainly had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, I'm very grateful for the Michigan culture and to be a part of it. And man, I'm just so bullish on Bitcoin meetups. Michigan has a great example of it.
And so, I guess just to close out the show, so for those of you listening at home, I guess the last 2 weeks we didn't have our normal format. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm heading out of the country. I actually will be in Ireland, for a little bit, for just over a week. And so what that means is that we have, 2 weeks in a row, we're not going to be producing a new episode. And so, we had, one that's going to come out, well, it'll be next week for us, but it was last week, for you listening at home. And then, this episode's going to come out. This will come out, I think, the right after Lake Satoshi. And then Rev and I will be back for our normal format. And don't worry, we will catch up on all the boosts. I'm sure we're going to have a million to get through, but no worries. We will definitely find time for it. And I'm sure that that first show back will have a cool format, and we'll make sure it'll be, you know, we'll get to all the value for value stuff that maybe we didn't cover the last couple episodes. So thanks for listeners at home. Thanks for hanging out and for trying out this new format with us. We hope you like it. And like Rev said, send us a boost, you know, let us know what you think. Maybe we can start doing this, on the regular. So, all right, Rev, what do you think? You got anything else to, before we close out?
I think it's cool. We could just roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.